Kakalaviche, my name is Troy. This is See You Next Tuesday. And this week we are joined with a friend of mine who I know just it seems like we constantly just run into each other at random places. And his name is Rob Perna. What's up, Rob?
What's happening, man?
Thanks for doing the show.
Thanks for having me on.
And you are a musician.
Yep.
And that's kind of how I met you. You were hosting the open mic at Victory Brewing, which I've talked about on the show before. And did that for a while. And somebody fucked that up, didn't they?
They got hit up by ASCAP or BMI about
people covering a license. You can eat the mic if you want.
Okay, about the blanket license.
Grab the thing if you want.
Yeah.
There you go.
Cool. All right.
Sorry.
No problem at all.
So people were playing cover songs and recording it?
I'm not really sure. I heard something about that maybe it was because somebody posted something on YouTube of somebody playing some music.
And they violated copyright.
Possibly, but I don't know if it ever got that far. I think basically they hit them up to pay for a blanket license to allow any kind of music going on there. And rather than pay the initial cost for the license, they were kind of dropped the F-bomb on them, like, yeah.
Cease and desist.
You know, and then they were like, oh, yeah, well, we're going to come in and make sure you don't have any music going on.
That sucks.
And that was the end of that.
Yeah.
It was really cool while it lasted, though.
How long did it last?
A little over a year. I think, yeah, like a year and
it
a half.
It was cool.
I had a good time.
Some people were good. Some people were not that.
Right, yeah.
But, hey, it's all fun, right?
Yeah.
Anyway, so you play in a band.
Yep.
And they are called
The New Kings of Rhythm.
And it's modern funk, right?
I would say, yeah. It's
a combination of different stuff. But
yeah, a lot of funk, a lot of reggae, a lot of rhythm and blues.
And how many people?
It's a 9-piece band.
You got a little brass.
Yeah, we have a trumpet and a trombone. That's John Paul Jones on trumpet and Mike Coffey on trombone.
Is that really his name?
Yes.
That's awesome.
It is. And he's not named after any of the other John Paul Joneses.
That's badass.
He's his own John Paul Jones.
So, yeah, and Mike Coffey is also an acquaintance of mine. He's on The Bone.
Yep.
And who else?
Joe Buono on drums. He's been with the band the full 16 years.
16 years, by the way. I forgot that tidbit.
Yep. And Dave Nussbaumer on bass. Dan Tatarovich on guitar, Benny Ben on congas and bongos, Richard Washington on keyboard, and Mojo Rosin on the ones and twos.
There you go. That's a lot of fucking shit. There are people, man.
Yeah.
So, damn, 16 years. And you guys, I mean, if people wanted to check it out, it's on YouTube, I'm sure, right?
You can find lots of videos that actually were put up by a friend of ours, Daniel Browse, who has kingarthur.com. He posts a lot of video footage of the band up, so you can get a wide range of the different styles and type settings that we play in.
And do you sell your album? Can they order your shit?
You can order our album, Rhythm is King, on the internet, on iTunes,
there,
or on CD Baby.
Okay.
And also just check us out on Facebook. There's links for all that on there. The New Kings of Rhythm on Facebook.
Nice. And
we have a new CD that we're promoting, which is a live album. And we're giving those out for free. So
there you go.
There will be plenty of supply for the demand. And if anybody needs a copy, just hit us up and we'll make sure you get one.
Nice. Where was that show?
It was recorded in part at Chaplin's in Spring City by James. Did an excellent job on the engineering. Got us a really cool show.
Nice.
Captured. I feel like it really shows what the New Kings are all about. More than a lot of other previous recordings.
Nice. I mean, you guys are a live band, so I'm sure that's the best way to...
Yeah, and it's always changing, and it was just like a good set that night. It was a good amount of magic in there, and everybody did their part perfectly. So it's one that we're proud of, and we want to make sure to get in as many hands as possible.
How many, do you guys just, how much improvisation is... Improvisation is in your live show compared to, like, if you're playing a song off your record.
Right.
Is it like an extended version?
Well, yeah, definitely certain songs, once we get in a mode, like, if we learn something new, like, if we're doing a cover and it's something we haven't played before, once we get to that point where we're, like, comfortable with that groove, we'll ride it for a little while, mm-hmm. you know, and just, like, mess around. Right now, it seems like the whole band's doing a good job at expanding on these different grooves, which are almost, most of the covers that we do end up being original. When we're learning new songs, we never actually strive to play the exact parts that are on the record. We just
right, you kind of make it your own.
Know what key it's in mm-hmm. and play it.
You know? Nice.
So everybody in the band works really well that way, and it happens pretty spontaneously because most of the time we just don't have time to rehearse. So
yeah, and sometimes that's where the best stuff comes from.
I feel that way too.
You just feel it.
Yep. I've seen bands get trapped by a set list. Mm-hmm. It's like you made this set list, everybody had this.
And shit gets boring, you know, if you're playing, yeah. if you're a good band, you're playing a lot, so you're playing the same shit over and over, right. and I would never want to do that myself.
Yeah, it's a struggle sometimes, yeah. but the main thing is that you never know what the crowd is going to be all about.
Yep.
You don't want to have this amped up set and like blow your shit and nobody's even showed up to the gig yet, mm-hmm. or little things like that, so it's just better to adapt as you go, mm-hmm. I find. And I'm lucky enough to have the people in the band that can stick with that mm-hmm. and really
ride it out with you.
It's cool.
How much like touring have you guys done at all?
We haven't really toured extensively. I mean, we're equipped to travel. Mm-hmm. We mainly go as far as like Ocean City, Maryland right now mm-hmm. and ventured up, you know, upstate PA mm-hmm. and pretty much a range of like 3-4 hours is about the furthest right we're going right now.
It's a good time of year to like play Ocean City and that you play the beach and stuff.
Yeah, we had a good time down there.
Yeah,
and
even though it's the Jersey Shore,
oh, we go to or Maryland. Ocean City, Maryland,
right on. Yeah,
so I avoid the whole Jersey thing.
It's probably wise.
Yeah, we have a good time. My sister-in-law kind of helped break us down there. She knows a lot of people down there, and she brought us down, and we did a few shows down there, and we got in pretty good with one spot, the Oasis in Whaleyville, and we play for their bike week and things like that.
It's tough, man, to that's pretty much half the battle for a band like yours, just meeting people and networking and getting booked at places you haven't played before to reach people that haven't heard you before. And
right.
It's, I don't know, man. I'm a musician myself, but I haven't been like serious about it in years because it's like, it's tough. It's so hard. Like, I wanted to be an engineer at one point, but you know, that's like a rough life. If I really wanted to do that,
right.
I would probably either have to have another job or cause like, unless you're like at the top tier, then you're not making shit money. Most you're making less than bands, like, and they're not even making money. So it's tough.
You know? And then you have to deal with bands that you're not in.
Mm-hmm. But the cool thing is like with, you know, a lot of people talk about it now, but it's true. Like the internet, it kind of levels the playing field for bands and that like wouldn't get exposure otherwise.
I love it. I think it's
like
great.
This, like you're talking to me now, like this, you know, this podcast goes out and people hear it that you wouldn't reach like Australia. Like what the fuck now, you know, they can find you on the web and like opens up a lot more avenues for finding shit, but it's still hard.
Yeah, that just like makes me think about the fact that when the band started, you couldn't have even done this.
Yeah, 16 years ago.
You couldn't have just gone on somebody's house and bust out.
Exactly. And then like, you know, it's on the internet for whoever to download.
Yep. Awesome. That's the way to go.
Mm-hmm.
All their money should be made playing live anyway.
And that's another thing, like you're starting to get to the point where you no longer, if you can find people, you no longer need a record company to distribute. I mean, you still need distribution somehow, but
the promotion end of things would be really nice. But if you know, I've generally found that if you make people happy with your music, you're going to have promotion
word
of
mouth.
Yeah,
two people tell four people. And
I haven't literally reached out to book somewhere new in probably the past 4 years, probably as long as my son's been alive. Mm-hmm. I have not really made any move to find new places
like
to
actively
play. It's just the calendar stays pretty filled up.
Well, that's good. That means it's working on some level. So did you hear Dr. Kevorkian, Jack Kevorkian, he died today.
I heard that.
The suicide assister.
I was wondering if he was suffering at all.
If he wanted to go. What do you think of that shit? Like, if you were if you were like on your deathbed, but and you're like being kept alive by machines and shit, like,
what do you? Where do you do? Depends on the technology at the time. Really,
that's true.
I don't know. I hope by the time I'm in that
technology,
shape,
will
maybe
catch
like they'll have a machine that's good enough that I can just go about my business.
There's this dude named Ray Kurzweil. He's born in 1948, right?
Right.
And he's a genius. And he's like an inventor.
Did he make the keyboard?
No, he did invent like the first text to, or like voice to text synthesis and shit. And he created reading machines for blind people.
Oh, wow.
But at 17, he designed this computer program that wrote music. Like,
wow.
Yeah. But anyway, he's a futurist, right? And he's like obsessed with the idea of like, one day we'll be like, be able to replace any of our body right. parts with like, you know,
right.
and we'll have these
nanotech,
like
man.
Nanobots inside of us and shit.
Awesome.
Yeah, it's crazy. And like, you know, he's probably right.
Yeah.
Like, cause technology, like not only does it keep getting better, but like the more technology you have, like it improves itself. Like, so it's not like you can say like technology is at like, I don't know, I don't know, dude. This is like stoner talk. But say like,
I don't know what you're talking about.
But, allegedly.
Come again.
But like, if you like say, try to think of where technology will be 10 years from now.
Right.
You're thinking of how fast it's developing it now.
Yeah.
But it keeps developing faster and faster.
Right.
So you... It's crazy.
It only takes one new discovery to push everything into a
exactly.
whole new realm.
And then like five things come from that, and then 10 I don't know, man.
That's why science is the shit.
Yeah. I think it's cool, man.
Yeah.
People were thinking, like, some people were like, you know, I think religion has a lot to do with it. With people like are avoiding, like,
they get held back sometimes.
They're afraid of things like that.
Yeah. I mean, it's scary, but
it's
really
scary, but change in any ways. People are scared of change in any way.
Yeah. Crazy. I'm like in my vision in my mind right now, looking at a future world.
Yeah, I'm like, no.
Like,
he says we'll have nanobots in our bloodstream monitoring.
Hey, you know,
like,
nanobots are cool, but
I'm down.
Really, I just can't wait till I can have like a couple gigs of memory space for music
you
in
can
my
just
head or whatever.
Upload shit, because like it's crazy. Because brain waves are just like, you know, electronic pulses, right? So.
Right, it's
eventually,
all related, dude.
You're gonna be able to just put it in a box,
my brain.
yeah, dude, crazy. Oh man,
dude, you could podcast from your head.
Yeah, I'm gonna just hit record. Like, wow, it's crazy. But I don't know. What do you think things would be like if you didn't need to go to like school to learn anything? You could just download history into your head.
Like Johnny Number Five.
Like, would that be a good thing?
Input.
Or yeah, yeah.
Johnny Number Five. It's crazy. It's gonna. You talk about like the internet leveling the playing field for the music business, and that's a huge thing that is like obvious, especially if you're in the business at all, like doing a podcast or playing music,
and TV eventually too.
Yeah,
as
so
technology gets cheaper,
everything's getting more interactive. That's cool. It also opens the floodgate of the amount of people that can, just because they feel like it can make a record.
Yeah, that's true.
You know?
There's 10 times more shitty stuff too, for every good thing.
As long as we trust our brains to weed through the stuff that's...
Yeah, like anything else, it eventually gets sorted out.
Like the whole auto-tune thing, I think is hilarious. Like,
and overused
comedy,
so much.
I like it, but like I don't really like it. And like
and
when I buy an album and I hear on a track where you're not supposed to know that there's auto-tune, but you catch that one little snip, and you're like, oh mother, what happened? Like back in the day, you know, people didn't need that.
No, you could sing or you couldn't.
Are they that lazy that like they can't just take it again until they get it right?
Yeah,
because I know some of these people must have been able to sing to get the attention in the first place.
Yeah. And that's the other thing for like, and I guess it's more electronic music, but there's like people, it's taking away like, you know, with like Fruity Loops.
Yeah.
Where you just take blocks and put them together.
Yeah.
Not to say that you can't come up with creative shit with that.
Right.
But it like takes, I mean, you have people like in the same field that people that are like making their own music and right. producing everything, and then people that are just taking samples
right,
and like
yeah.
sequencing and calling it like I made this beat.
Well,
but like
yeah, eventually like a singer will be the producer will just be the singer
because
they can just do whatever they need and you see, to do to their voice.
iTunes.
Auto-tune
their iTunes their voice. Fuck.
The whole jar is a cupcake.
It looks like the beach sand.
The whole jar is a
cupcake. Why would you send someone a cupcake in a jar?
Because when they live in, when they're in a war,
where?
Oh. They don't have, like,
they don't have cupcakes, man.
Motherfuckers
How
need
cupcakes. Americans go anywhere without cupcakes?
Motherfucker needs a cupcake now and then. Like, fuck sending them a roll of
Dude,
toilet
paper.
Dude,
they're gonna kill us even more now for our cupcakes. Oh, got cupcakes.
These fucking Americans and their cupcakes.
Maybe if we hook them all cupcakes, they'll be much happier.
I started recording again because I thought this was funny. We're talking about cupcakes in a jar.
Yeah.
Apparently, it's a thing.
Do you know the website for cupcakes in a jar? Right?
Is it cupcakesinajar.com?
Is there a word in that?
Are we not in world? America? Not here.
We're cool.
Yeah, I'm fine. I wake up, put my pants on one leg at a time. I don't know how that relates to war, but anyway, YouTube star Antoine Dobson, best known for telling the internet to hide your kids and hide your wife, has been arrested for possession of marijuana and other minor charges. He was arrested on 5 misdemeanor charges after he was stopped for speeding early Saturday morning. He spoke out on Twitter about the arrest, saying, "So just got out of jail off a weak charge, got pulled over in my Benz and they got me. I never been in jail except that time in grade school." What the fuck?
Oh my God.
What happened in grade school, homie?
Yeah, I want to know the story. Oh, maybe he means like when they take you to meet Officer Friendly or something. Maybe
for Dare?
Took a trip to school with Dare.
Dare is the dumbest thing ever. We had in like 4th grade, and by the time the kid shows up in your life with a joint, it's like 6th, 7th, 8th grade. Like,
yeah.
You don't remember Officer Tony.
Yeah. And you just don't give a damn at that point.
No, you're smoking it. Yeah. Dare is a waste of tax money.
I really like the Dare shirt. The drugs are really expensive. I crack up every time I see that in my head.
Dude. I'm a sucker for stupid t-shirt. I never wear them or buy them, but I'm like, my man.
Yeah, the biker fests are the best for all
Oh,
that.
God,
I
yeah.
These t-shirts.
They'll put anything on their chest.
Yeah, they don't care. It's awesome.
The global war on drugs has failed with devastating consequences for individuals and societies around the world, argues a new report released Thursday. The Global Commission on Drug Policy, which includes former heads of state, a former UN secretary, a business mogul, Richard Branson, the Virgin Records guy.
Okay. He's
cool.
It's
a 19-member commission. It's a 19-member commission. And all kinds of people with clout are on it. Anyway, I'll skip ahead. Anyway, the commission called for drug policies based on methods proven to reduce crime, led to better health, and promote economic and social development. We don't see the U.S. evolving in a way that is compatible with our long-term interests, blah, blah, blah. Anyway, suffice to say, they got this committee of important people together, and they're basically saying the war on drugs is pointless.
Yeah.
Which I could have, any 13-year-old could have told you.
They needed 19 people to tell them.
And I wonder how much money they spent on the
figuring it out.
Yeah.
Well, didn't they already determine, like, didn't they try to stifle the news from the guy that came out and said, in all the studies they did, they never found anything wrong?
Oh, sure, dude.
They, like, totally shut that down.
Well, like, weed was made illegal through, like, propaganda and, like, not scientific information.
Right.
It was, like, people, it was a lot of racism back in the day because Mexicans were coming across the border and smoking weed. And, like, we were just racist against them, so we took that to use against them. And jazz musicians, like black people, were smoking weed, so we used that against them.
The dope.
The jazz cigarettes. It's all fucking money, man, or racism.
Got some reefers.
Did you ever see that Reefer Madness? That old.
I saw pieces of it.
Where they're just playing a piano, smoking and going crazy.
The piano part was entertaining. Because I was like, damn, that's all I need to do to play like that.
It's crazy, though. Our priorities, man. Follow the money, I'm telling you.
Yeah.
It sucks. That's why I like comedy and music, and I try to block the rest out, even though it's impossible.
Yeah.
Like, that's what I was saying. Like, if you could download everything, you would have a lot less stupid people, right? So that would be good in that sense. Like,
it would be.
You wouldn't have, like, the Tea Party people that will believe, like, the weirdest shit.
Yeah.
You know? But then again, you know, you're also making, like, violent. Everybody. If you make everybody smarter, then you're making the bad people smarter, too.
Oh, yeah, dude. So. Wow. That's a good point. You should have to be a certain amount of smart to even get the access.
How about
to the
smart that? Limited access. Cards. Smart cards.
Limited access. Oh, man. That sounds like some judge direction. I don't want to go in.
Yeah, some Big Brothers. Yeah. Orwellian.
You're allowed to learn a lot. You have to just scrub the floor.
Yeah, who's going to decide that? That's a whole nother.
You're like, man, I know more stuff. I know as much stuff as you.
Yeah. You're going to vote for... Yeah, and then, like, if everybody's as smart, like, do we need, like, a government and a president anymore?
No.
Like, if we all have the common sense... Well, actually, that doesn't make you have common sense, I guess. They're still idiots.
Well, yeah, that's what you do with your knowledge.
Yeah.
But there's some things you can't just learn in a book, I think.
Oh, absolutely. Then maybe that's, like, if you could learn all the academic shit by, like, pressing a button, then you could spend your time going to school learning, like, the arts learning to deal with people.
All school would be more focused like college.
Yeah.
To a certain niche.
Yeah.
I would like that.
Be much better. Shit to think about.
Yeah. I would have gone to college.
Yeah. Dude, and like college even now is almost, I read this last week and it like, I had to read it a couple times. It said that, and I couldn't tell you where, but like the amount of debt that college students have as a whole, like if you put it all together, these recent grads, is more than the whole country's credit card debt, like out of everybody. It's higher. So, like, at this point, and no one's getting jobs out of college. It's also said 85% of college kids that graduate are moving home.
Wow.
85%. Like,
wow. So what did you just go do?
Is it even worth it?
You should probably just work.
And for the amount keeps going up every year.
Oh, man.
It's crazy. So,
that's crazy.
It'll be weird to see where this country's at. Like, when your kid's 21 and 30.
My neighbor was saying that his kids are both still in his pocket.
How old are they?
The youngest one's 20. And I'm not sure how old the oldest one is. But he's like, yeah, she's still in my pockets too.
Well, he's under that impression.
He's like, you'll see. You'll see.
You can't trust girls.
It was a pretty grim outlook, though. I was like, ooh.
What does he mean in his pocket? Like
money wise, like they're still like.
Oh, you mean like living off him? Yeah, and it's so common nowadays. Yeah. It's like.
My parents helped me a lot. I mean, I've been
absolutely
spoiled over the years
compared to their generation.
Yeah, totally.
Like my pops was living on his own at 21,
right?
Or you know, and got married at like 22,
right.
Had a kid. Well, they waited a little bit to have kids, but that was like for so they could have shit. Financially secure, but you know, I'm like 28 and I'm not even thinking about like settling down and like,
almost can't right now. Yeah,
the way things are,
it's just like, you know, there's plenty of time.
Yeah,
there's
absolutely.
No rush these days.
That's true.
The hustle's off.
But yeah, we'll see. China and like India are gonna like just keep going up and up and up, and then
it's weird, man. It's like, I don't know. We'll see what happens. But I just hope that music gets better.
Exactly. You got to keep with it to impact that, man.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
So when you, how do you write? When is it mostly your ideas that you take to the band?
Yeah, like you'll come generally. I do a lot of writing on my own throughout the week, and whenever I have like an idea that might be cool as far as a lick or a vocal idea, I just record it on my phone and then I get in front of my...
That's so cool for me too. Yeah, I'm on this thing recording like just ideas or whatever all day.
Yeah, it's great.
And
I never would have been able to remember all the ideas.
No,
so.
No.
Sometimes I put that shit on and there's things I don't even remember recording on there. I'm like, damn, that's funny. Like,
how do you play that?
Yeah.
I've done that too.
So then I just go and I use GarageBand as a tool to like put the ideas together and then present it to the band.
Yeah, dude, that's a cool thing now. GarageBand, you can even podcast with that.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. But cool. So do you write, do riffs come in your head or do you noodle around?
It depends. Yeah. A lot of times I find I get ideas like throughout a day while I'm teaching guitar.
Do the words come with the riffs usually, or is that a separate?
It's a whole separate thing for me. Yeah, I write some songs from a lyrical standpoint, and I write songs from a musical standpoint.
Yeah.
But I have a hard time finding lyrics. Like, I don't always feel very comfortable lyrically because I kind of sing mostly about what I know about, and what I know about is playing and writing music.
Yeah.
And so my songs are a little bit...
I know what you're saying, but you know,
about the music business too.
But yeah, you know, no one can fault you for writing about what you know. So.
No, yeah, and it's cool. I just don't know if it has like a huge, like broad appeal. But
well, there's a appeal for every type of music. So somebody likes it.
Yeah. Yeah.
A lot of people like it.
I mean, I need
a lot
it,
of people.
Know?
Yeah,
I need to be doing it. It's it really boils down to that too.
Yeah,
like I don't really... That's probably why the band's able to stay together for so long.
I feel the same way. Like, I have to do something creative. Like, something's gonna come out of me if I don't, like...
Yeah.
And it does come out of you, but I know exactly what you're saying. You need something like that. Because too much of life is not fun like that.
Yeah.
But... So. Shit, you want to play some music?
Sure.
All right, then let's do it. This is Rob Perna from the New Kings of Rhythm playing Benny and the Jets. No, this is a song called Space Brothers.
Come on and get on down. This here's a New Kings party tonight. Might not have come in ready to boogie, but you're gonna leave it feeling out of sight. Everybody come and get on down. Get down just as low as you dare. Concern yourself with the rest of them. I can guarantee they all gonna stare. But that's alright, cause we are your space brothers. Standing right in your face. Shapers of all history. Creators of the human race. You should never trust no other. Your people, but it might be the first you ever heard. We've been behind the scenes pulling strings for you. The time has come to heed our word. shake, growl, and roll for some time now. Everybody's waiting for the dice to drop. We're all here on borrowed time, people. Don't you know this earth abuse has got to stop? Cause we are your space brothers, standing right in your face. Shapers of all history, creators of the human race. You should never trust no other. We will always steer you right. You no longer have to suffer. We will show you true delight.